Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama Chaf Dalet. We begin in the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Gimel. Mid Beis Ezu Tam. What's a Tam? Ve'ezuhu Muad. And what is a Muad? Okay, we are now in week number 4 of the Masechta, and we're still in the second parak of the Masechta, and we're going over more about basics regarding property damage. Again, property damage is where my property goes out and damages other people. Property damages is organized. I know I'm just going to be giving a very brief introduction over here. Those of you who have been around since the beginning of the Masechta, so all this is basic and you know this, but it's just, I enjoy organizing. When it comes to property damage, so it's broken down into three different categories. Category number one is your shore, your animals that go out and do damage. Category number two is ash, your fire going out and doing damage. And category number three is a bore. You dig a hole in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and somebody falls in, I said somebody, and immediately I have to correct myself because it's not somebody, but in other words, but it does damage, so you're going to be chayev. Okay, again, each one of these categories has limitations and rules and restrictions and regulations, and so each one of these categories, as we've been speaking about now for the last 3.5 weeks, has its own personality and its own unique characteristics about it. Even within shore, your animal going and doing damage, so then that is subdivided into three subcategories. Your shore is subdivided into shein, regel, and keren. Shein and regel, basically your animal tramples on something while walking. Or shein, your animal eats. But again, walking and eating is not just limited to walking and eating. Again, this goes back to understanding its characteristic, its basic characteristics. Right. And then going in and giving us tolado subcategories within each one of them. But if your animal destroys via shein or via regel, so you're chayv, you have to pay. And not only do you have to pay, but you have to make full restitution. You have to pay nezek shalem. On the other hand, if your animal damages with what is called keren, where kavanaso lahazik, it lowers its head and it's looking to damage, and we're talking about animals that are domicile and tame and calm animals, and this is so unusual. So now what the Torah does is the Torah cuts you a break. You, the owner of the animal, do not have to pay nezek shalom, but you only need to pay chatzi nezek. You only have to pay half damages. Number one, we already discussed and concluded earlier in this Masechta, the chatzi nezek damages that you pay for keren is not mammon, but rather it's kanas. Debated, but the conclusion is it's kanas. Which means to say that really, may ikar hadin, according to the strict letter of the law, you don't have to pay anything because this is so unusual for your animal to damage in such a manner. So really, you don't have to pay anything. But the Torah imposes a fine, and that is that you have to pay chatzin ezek. That's point number one. Point number two is that the chatzin ezek damages that you're going to be paid is capped. It's migufo. It's coming from the animal itself, the animal that did the damage. So whatever the value of the animal is, that now serves as the ceiling of how much damages you have to pay. Meaning if, let's say, the damages exceed the value of your animal, meaning, and obviously we're talking about the chatzi nezek because that's all you're paying, but even if the chatzi nezek were to exceed the value of your animal, you don't pay anything above the value of your animal. It's capped at your animal. This is what's called migufo. Okay. Now, we also know, this is going to bring us to our Mishnah, we also know that if your animal is a repeat offender, where it lowered its head and it gored, not once, not twice, but three times, at this point going forward, your animal now is going to be shifting from being a tam to being a muad. Your animal now is a registered gorer, okay? And as such now, from this point going forward, you now have to pay nezek shalem. This is behavior now that you no longer can claim is unexpected. It is now perfectly expected. In fact, its track record would indicate that this is what this animal does. And so therefore, you, the owner of the animal, are now responsible for full damages and it's uncapped. Okay, adkan. That is a basic introduction to, effectively, what we've been doing now for the last 3.5 weeks. And so over here, our Mishnah is serving as a really basic discussion in terms of, so how does the animal graduate? This is the kind of graduation you don't want. But how does the animal graduate from being a tam to being a muad? So the Mishnah starts, and we are going to obviously start with the Mishnah. So Ezu Tam Ezu Muad. So what is Tam and what's a Muad? So Muad Kol Sheidu Bo Shoshiyamim Tam Yishiyachzu Bo Shoshiyamim Divrei Rav Yehuda. So according to Shitas Rav Yehuda, let's start off with how it graduates. It graduates by on three consecutive days, meaning that it gored, but not only did it gore, but on three, and I'm saying consecutive. But really, I think more critical than consecutive is that it's separate, on three separate days. So because it gored down on three separate days, so now we see, this animal is a nogeach, meaning its nature now is that it gores. We know it because on three separate occasions, and again, let's be more clear, more accurate, on three separate days it gored, so therefore now it goes from being a tam to being a muad. From that point going forward now, anytime it gores, so the owner is going to be obligated to pay nezek shalem. Ah. Now, is there a chance of tshuva? I'm using the word tshuva, by the way, but not. Don't take me super literally. In other words, it's not like a person where bechira chavshis and you want to reform and you want to correct yourself and there's a way to do tshuva. Okay, but in other words, can the animal go from being a muad back to being a tam? So Rav Yehuda says yes. There is a means of reformation for the animal, and that is mishiach bo shosh yamim. If it could go 3 days without goring, so now it reverts back to being a tam. So Rav Yehuda has 3 days to becoming a tam and 3 days of calmness, and then it reverts to being a tam. That is Shitas Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir Omer, Muaji Debo Shoshapa Amim, and Tam Koshe Tinokis Memashmashimbo, Veinu Nogeach. Shitas Rav Meir is the following, and that is that in order for it to become a muad, so there needs to be three occasions, but it doesn't have to be on three separate days. As long as there are three occasions, three incidents, so at that point going forward, the animal now is graduated from being a tam to being a muad. That is, Rav Meir, obviously, he argues with Rav Yehuda, but he also argues on the second point as well. And that is that how do we get reformation? Is there a way to move back to being the status of a tam? Yes, says Rav Meir, but Rav Meir says, you know how it's going to be? Where you can have children playing with the animal and the animal's not goring the children. In other words, obviously the example of children, it's a graphic example. It's certainly an unusual example. But the point is that the children are, easy targets. And yet the animal shows that for whatever reason, in other words, it may have bugged out, previously. But obviously, whatever issues the animal was having, animal doesn't have issues anymore. In other words, they can sit calmly with children. It's not harming the children. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Mishnah. So really what we have in our Mishnah it's a double machlokus between the Tanayim in terms of how the animal upgrades from being a tam to a muad and how does it downgrade from being a muad back to a tam. The Gemara starts off the discussion, my tam at Rav Yehuda, as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, where the only way it's going to upgrade is only on three separate days. Who said? In other words, how do I know that? So Amar Abaye, so Abaye says it's based on drushes of the Psukim. And where do you think we're going to go? Of course we're going to go to Parshas Mishpatim. And here we are now at the end of Perek Chaf Aleph. The Pasuk in full reads, O no da kishur nagachu mit moshel shom. If it becomes known that the animal has gored mit moshel shom previously. Now that's not an accurate translation. In fact, the better translation is going to obviously reflect the fact that it needs to be on three occasions. V'lo yishmerenu ba'alav. And there was a lack of responsibility on the part of the owner who didn't watch it properly. So now what Abai is going to do is he's going to darshan the psukim. T'mol chad. So if the Torah would have just written the word t'mol, it didn't. It wrote the word mitmol. But had it said t'mol just yesterday, so that would be one. Mitmol, the extra mem, gets us a second day. So that's trey. And then shilshom, and now that's tata. That brings us now to a third day. So in other words, from the psukim itself, Abaye says that's how Rabbi Yehuda arrives at the conclusion that it has to be on three separate and distinct days. And v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav asal negicha, and lo yishmerenu ba'alav, and the owner was not responsible. He didn't guard it properly. So now negicha revius, that's the fourth, meaning on the fourth now, you're chayv nezek shalem, you have to pay full damages, and it goes uncapped. That is Abaye's understanding of how Rav Yehuda extracts his halacha from the psukim. Rav amar t'mol mitmol chad, shosham trei v'lo yishmerenu ha'ina chayav. Now Rav argues, and let's present it like Rashi. Rav says, no, t'mol is t'mol mitmol, in other words, the extra, there's no extra mem. So that means to say that's just simply one. And shosham now is two. And now v'lo yishmerenu ha'ina chayav, which means now that when you get to the third, so now you're going to be chayiv. Okay? And the way Rashi presents it, what Rav and Abaye are arguing about is how many times does it take for the animal to become an upgrade from being a tam to being a muad? According to Abaye, three times, now the animal becomes a muad. From this point going forward, from fourth negicha and onward, the owner is going to be paying nezek shalem. Whereas according to Rava, two times now the animal upgrades and graduates to becoming a muad. And then from that point going forward, the third time and onward, nezek shalem. That's the way Rashi presents it. That according to Rav and Abaye, the mamish arguing about how many times does it take for the animal to become a muad. Tosha's over here. Tosha starts off on the bottom of our amud, and you can see Tosha spills well over into I was going to say tomorrow's daf, today's daf, and Tosha takes notable exception to the way Rashi just presented it. Tosha himself writes that Rashi never thought this, but never meant to conclude this way, meaning Tosfos is of the position that Rav and Abaye are not arguing how many times it takes for an animal to become a muad. It takes three times for an animal to become a muad. Everyone is in agreement that from the fourth time and onward, then and only then do you pay nezek shalem. Not prior to that point in time. What are Rav and Abaye arguing about? Just simply how to darshan the words of the psukim, but the conclusion they both agree. Three, and only after three does the animal become a muad. Okay, anyway, much to discuss in terms of this Rashi and this Tosfos, but we're going to go on. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, so my time, detanya me Rabbi Meir. So now let's understand Shitas Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says, look, the number three, that's critical. The fact that it has to be on three separate days, not critical. It could be three incidences, and those incidences could be all on the same day, and your animal will upgrade to being a muad. And how do I know that? So Rabbi Meir is going to employ an argument, otherwise known as a kav chomer. We're on the top of Chav Dalman Aleph. Richad negichosav chayev. Kirv negichosav lakol shekain. Right? Let's use a simple argument of logic. A kavachomer. Look, if the animal is showing that it is repeated behavior over 3 days, and that animal is considered a muad, well, if the repeated behaviors are done in a shorter span of time, 2 days or even 1 day, you don't think now the animal should be labeled a repeat offender, and the animal now should be upgraded from being a tam to being a muad? In other words, it only makes sense that the animal is going to be branded a repeat offender if it concentrates those offenses in a shorter amount of time. It seems logical. So Amr le zavatochiach shericha riosav utameya kiva riosav tahora. So now the counter argument is, well, let's take a look at our Zava Gadola. Now, when it comes to a Zava Gadola, what's the halacha? Halacha is that a woman discharges on three consecutive days, so she's going to go from being a Zava to a Zava Gadola. Okay. Now, if you know the halachas regarding Zava and Zava, so all this is going to be to you second nature. However, if you have not gone through the Masechta of Nida, so truth of the matter is, Gemara has obviously discussed it elsewhere, but Nida discusses it in much greater detail. So admittedly, I'm going to admit, you're going to be a little bit lost over here in terms of the halachas. I'm right now going to assume that we're all fluent. Okay, it's a strong word. Maybe not fluent. But we all basically know the halachas regarding a zava and a zava. So when it comes to a zava, how does a woman become a zava gadola? Having three discharges on three separate days. Three discharges on the same day does not make her a zava gadola. Now, for a man, however, that's not true. For a man has a discharge. Obviously, the discharge of a man is going to be different than the discharge of a woman. And again, I'm not going to go through right now. Please forgive me. I'm not going to go through right now exactly what these discharges look like and what's causing these discharges and when it's happening during your meziva, during your menida. There's a lot of information right now that I'm just going to be bypassing simply for the sake of time. Anyway, but we need to know right now is that for a woman to become a Zava Gadola, so it has to be on three separate days. Mashenkin, that's not true by a man. By a man, it could be on the discharges could be on the same day, and the man will be a Zav Gadol. But meanwhile, again, the man is not relevant to our discussion over here. The woman is relevant to our discussion. The point is that you're telling me I'm making an argument that if three consecutive days is going to make the animal a muad, so if the three events occurred in 1 day, it's for sure going to make him a muad. The counter argument to that is, look at the woman in a zava. A woman in a zava, if she discharges on three separate days, she's a zava gadola. But what if she discharges three times on 1 day or on 2 days? She doesn't become a zava gadola. So you see that if your argument were in fact a good argument, why don't we play that over to a zava? That's the counter argument. So Amar lahem arei omer v'zostia tumasa b'zava. So tala kasev es a zava b'riyos es a zava b'yamim. So The counter to that counter is the following. And that is, that's a gzeiras hakasav. That's a special drasha when it comes to a zava. In that the argument in of itself would be fine, but it just happens to be that the Torah tells us that when it comes to a zava, so a zava has to be on three distinct days. So the Gemara says, how did you know that? Meaning from the pasuk, you learned out that the zos, which is a miut, it's a limitation. So what are we doing? We're limiting, and we're saying that we're limiting the zava from re'ios, meaning for a woman to have three discharges all on the same day does not upgrade her to being a zava gedola. How did you know that? Maybe the Torah is going in the other direction. Maybe the Torah is telling us that when it comes to a zav, a man discharging, maybe the man will be a zav gadol, but only on three separate days, not on three separate occasions. So ema lamuti zav miyamim. So Amakrav Azav Zav Lizakhar Vilanakeva make your Zakhl Nikeva Manikeva Biyamim of Zakhar Biyamim. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why we can't say that. It's an untenable conclusion, simply based on the fact that the Torah says Zakhar Nikeva. That when it comes to Zav Zava, there is common ground between them. And that common ground is going to be Yamim, meaning that on three separate days, so she's going to be a Zav Gadola and he's going to be a Zav. So we can't limit days. We know that days is equivalent to the two of them. So Valekish Nekeva Zachar, Ma Zachar Brios of Nekeva Brios. So the Gemara says, well, in other words, once we say equivalency between men and women by Zava and Zav respectively, so why don't we say the following? Why don't we say that, look, a man discharges three times in one day. He'll upgrade to being a Zav Gadol. So why don't we say the same thing regarding woman? So the Gemara says, Hamiyat Rechman of Zos. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I have a miut. And the meat tells me that, look, even though there is equivalency, there is also differentiation. There's both. In other words, they share halachas, but they also depart from one another. So the Gemara says, okay, so how do you know where the shared area is and how do you know where the departure is? So the Gemara says, Mistabra kai berios memait rios and kai berios memait yamim. So the Gemara says, well, no, because the pasuk that tells us that they are common, they share common ground. That pasuk is regarding incidents and episodes. So a man and a woman, the three episodes. But in terms of days, so in other words, that's not what the pasuk was describing. So in other words, that's how we know that in that area of halacha, they are separate from one another. For a woman to be a zava gadola, she needs to have three discharges on three separate days. But when for a man to become a Zav Gadol, it doesn't have to be on three separate days. Okay. I admit that, I didn't really give a lot of explanation over here by the Zav and Zava. Just, right, I'm just assuming you understand. And also I admit that I went through that really quickly. The point is the following. In other words, now that we're here, let's quickly wrap up. The point is that Rebbe Meir says that in order for an animal to upgrade from being a tam to a muad, so if it gored on three occasions, even though it was all on the same day, that's sufficient. How did Rebbe Meir know that? Meaning, obviously, that's against Rebbe Yehuda. How did Rebbe Meir know that? He used an argument. If three gorings on three separate days creates upgrade, so three gorings on the same day for sure should create an upgrade, that is what's called a kavachomer. That's an argument. And to that, the counter is that, well, what about Zava? Where a Zava does not become a Zava Gadola until three re'ios, three discharges on three separate days. What if she had three discharges on one day? She doesn't get upgraded. So you see that argument does not translate when it comes to Zava Gadola. And the counter to that would be Zeres HaKasov. In other words, that's we would love to make the argument over there, but the Torah tells us otherwise. And so since we have Zeres HaKasov, so although the argument in of itself is a good argument, it just simply can't translate over to the Zava Gadola simply because the Torah tells us otherwise. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of step number one of today's daf. How an animal upgrades from being a tam to a muad. So it requires three. Now again, by the way, Abai and Rava, at least the way Rashi presents it, do in fact debate whether or not it's three or two. But again, Tosus is clearly of the position that Rashi thought it, but Rashi never meant to conclude that way. According to Tosfos, they're not even arguing about the number. The number is three. So it takes three occurrences for the animal to upgrade. And now a machlokas tanaim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, whether those three occurrences have to be separated by days. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they do. And according to Rabbi Meir, they do not. Okay. But three in order to upgrade from being a tam to a muad. Okay. Let's continue. Tana Rabbanan. We are on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph and about a quarter of the way down. Ezu Moa Kol Sheidu Bo Shoshi Yamim Tam Shiyu Atenokos Memashmashim Bo Ve'inu Negech Dev Rabbi Yosi. Okay. So, over here in the Braisa, we're doing the same thing that we did in the Mishnah, but it's going to be a little bit confusing, just a little bit. In other words, first of all, the principles who are arguing in the Braisa are not the same as the ones that we're arguing in the Mishnah, right? That point is going to be noted by the Gemara. And also, there seems to be a little bit of an inconsistency. The Gemara is going to note that as well. Number one, the Sheet of Rav Yossi, which we just read, which is that has the animal upgrade? So it has to be three negichos on three separate days. How does the animal downgrade after being upgraded? So children have to be playing with the animal and the animal doesn't attack. So that's Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Okay? If you're following well and you really and you have the shitas down well, so you notice that Rabbi Yossi is basically a blend of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. Again, the Gemara is going to point this out. Rabbi Shimon Amar Muad Kol Shehidu Bo Shosh Pamim Velo Amru Shosh Yamim Ela Lechazar Bevad. And as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, so you only need three occasions, three incidences. But in other words, they don't have to be separated by days. And how once upgraded, how do you get downgraded? So that you need shlosha yamim. You need 3 days of calmness. Then and only then the animal is going to get downgraded from being a muad to reverting back to being a tam. So I'm Rav Nachman. I'm Rav Adar Bar Halachik Rav Yehuda ben Muad. So now, how does the halacha go? So as far as Muad is concerned, how the animal gets upgraded, so the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda. And that is Rabbi Yossi Modala. Why? Because I see that he's corroborated with Rabbi Yossi. Meaning, take the Mishnah. The Mishnah has Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. So take the Mishnah. We're going to go with Shitas Rabbi Yehuda in terms of upgrade. Because I now know, after having learned the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda is corroborated with Rabbi Yossi. And the halacha Rabbi Meir. But Tom, as far as how to downgrade, the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Meir. Share Rabbi Yossi Modala, because Rabbi Yossi agrees with them. In other words, what Rav Nachman is telling us is that you see how Rav Yossi picked in terms of upgrading, he went like Rabbi Yehuda. In terms of downgrading, he went like Rav Meir. Whoever Rav Yossi picked, that's the halacha. So the Gemara says, really, Amalei Rav Rav Nachman v'leim amar halacha k'Rabbi Meir b'muad sharei Rabbi Shimon modelo v'halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'tam sharei Rabbi Shimon modelo. I don't understand. Just because Rav Yossi sides, so now all of a sudden that's the halacha. So the Gemara says that's absolutely correct. Amarle anaka Rav Yossi sfirale Rav Yossi nimuko imo. Okay, so the Gemara says, and this is a klal in terms of just generally how we paskin, is that if I have Rav Yossi and he's countering another Tana, generally speaking, we side like Rav Yossi, right? Nimuko imo, an expression the Gemara uses often, and that is that Rav Yossi's reasoning is the strongest of reasonings. Right, he usually presents the best arguments. And so therefore, in terms of halacha, when there is a machlokas and we know where Rav Yossi stands on this issue, typically, generally, we're going to be going like Rav Yossi. So in terms of upgrading from being a tam to being a muad, so you need not only 3 occasions, 3 gorings, but you need them on 3 separate days. Okay, that's number one. And even though that's in our mission, it's a machlokas, but since Rav Yossi sides with that shita, that's the halacha. In terms of downgrading, meaning, now that the animal is a muad, how can the animal become a tam? Well, I know that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is siding with Rabbi Meir, so therefore we're going to go like Rabbi Meir, which is that children are playing with the animal, right? And I'll just add parenthetically, don't try this at home. Or in other words, but the children now are playing with the animal that's a known gore, the animal is a muad, and children are playing with it, and the animal now is calm. That is an indication now that the animal is in fact calm, and the animal now is going to be downgraded from being a muad back to being a tam.
Is there a possibility that it doesn't do anything to humans, but does to other ants?
I mean, there's all these possibilities. So, but the Gemara is telling us, in other words, Gemara is giving us clear guidelines in terms of how it gets upgraded to a muad and how it gets downgraded. Okay. E bailahu shosh yamim diktani. Okay, so we are now going to be assuming from this point going forward the halacha like Rabbi Yossi, as the Gemara just concluded. That in order for an animal to be a muad, so it has to be now. It has to have done so on 3 separate days. Okay. So 3 separate days, that's critical. But even within this sheet of 3 separate days, the Gemara now is going to ask and analyze the following. Okay. Is the year therefore the shore, or is the year there for the owner of the shore? Okay. Let's see if we could really clarify and spell this out. Meaning, one possibility is that, look, what are we looking to see over here? There's a pattern of behavior. In other words, the animal, this is unusual. The animal starts goring other people. It's unusual. Other animals, we're talking about normally what is domicile animals. So over here, we're seeing a pattern in behavior. If that's all we're looking for, so now that's option number one, Yehuda Tura. That's one possibility. What's the other possibility? It's not so much that we need to see a pattern of behavior, although that's true. But what we also need to do is that we need the owner to upgrade his responsibility. In other words, normally a person owns cows and the cows are pretty tame. They're not going to start lowering their head and attacking people and attacking other animals. And so the owner of the animals is not expecting that it needs to do a lot of shmirah, right? Out on the cow farm, right? This is of the many responsibilities of the farmer. He's not thinking, I got to really be careful for that animal. That animal is just crazy. That's not normal. But if the animal now gores a first time, a second time, now a third time, so now the owner is basically, you are warned. Meaning you should now know that this animal over here is crazy. And so maybe the purposes of the warnings is to basically serve notice to the owner, hey, you need to do a better job watching your animals. Okay. So these are the two options. Either option number one is that the yield is for the animal, or option number two is the yield is for the owner. Now, hopefully you're wondering to yourself right now, and what's the difference? Gemara spells it out. So So let's say that the witnesses, in other words, we have three sets of witnesses, because again, there were three occasions. And remember, we paskin over here like Rabbi Yossi, it has to be on three separate days. So what if, let's say, that the animal did gore on three separate days, and the witnesses are coming and testifying, but the goring that occurred on day number one, the witnesses didn't get their act together on day number one. Okay? Whatever. Life happens. And they didn't come until day number three. And the goring that took place on day number two, and there were witnesses to that as well, they didn't come on day number two, but rather they came on day number three. So in other words, on day number three, so into the courtroom rushes three sets of witnesses, and they say, you know what happened? Well, the first one testifies, here's what happened 3 days ago, right? And the second say, here's what happened yesterday. And the third says, well, here's what happened today. So all of a sudden, the owner now is flooded with your animal's a bad animal, right? Goring now on three separate days. So the Gemara goes on to say, Iyamar li yudei Torah miyayed. If the whole point of yud is to now show us the behavior of the animal, so we have proven a pattern of behavior. The owner has only heard all of this on one day, don't matter. In other words, the whole purpose of yud is yud tura, to show a pattern of behavior. We've done that. Iyamar li yudei gavra lo miyayed. If, however, the purpose of yud is yud gavra, meaning basically we need the owner to, we're basically serving notice to the owner, you have to be more careful. If you're serving him on three separate occasions, so now you can understand how basically, hey, that was one, hey, that was two, hey, that was three. If the whole purpose is serving notice, if you're just flooding him on one occasion, that doesn't prepare him properly. In other words, what would prepare him properly is on day one, you were warned. On day two, you were warned. On day three, now from this point going forward, any damage done by that animal, now you're going to be responsible for Nezek Shalim. Okay, so the two possibilities now, again, everyone agrees like Rav Yossi, that has to be on three separate days. But now, even within the Shita, the Gemara is digging deeper and further analysis. Is the purpose is just simply to show a pattern behavior, which means that I can have all three sets of witnesses coming on one occasion and testifying to three separate goings on three separate days? That's one possibility, or maybe no. Maybe that's insufficient. Maybe for proper warning to be done and for the owner of the animal now to have the status of having a sure muad, it needs to be where the owner hears the testimony on three separate occasions, on three separate days. So Toshma. So the Gemara says, great question. And let's do what we always do, and that is analyze. So ain asher nasa muad ashiyad b'bifnei balim b'bifnei beizdin. Heidu b'bifnei beizdin v'shalab b'bifnei balim b'bifnei balim v'shalab b'bifnei beizdin. Ain nasa muad ashiyadu b'bifnei beizdin b'bifnei balim. So over here a brisa, and the brisa is really straightforward, and that is that in order for the animal to be upgraded from tam to muad, there has to be testimony. Testimony has to be in front of the court and in front of the owner. And both of those are critical and necessary. If I miss one of those two, court or owner, the animal is not being upgraded to a muad. Good. That's point number one. Here we get to the exciting part. And quite frankly, this part's going to be a little bit complicated. So, Eidu Shnayim Berishana, Shnayim Bishnia, Ushnayim Bishlishit, Sarekan Shlosha Eidios. Vehein Eidus Achas Le'azama. Okay, so if, let's say, I have the first set, second set, third set, all testifying, so now, fine. So in other words, even though there are three sets of Eidim, in other words, what we're going to do is that we're going to pool them together. In other words, we're going to take the sum total of their Eidus, which is that this animal has gored on three occasions. And again, let's assume like Rav Yossi. In other words, each one of them is testifying to a different day. Right, the first is testifying to day number one, second day number two, third day number three. But now what we could do is that we could take the sum total of their Eidos, and now we can safely conclude that there were three episodes on three separate days. The animal now is a muad. Furthermore, what we also just read is that let's say these Eidim were proven to be Eidim Zomamim. Okay, fabricated everything they said. And it was proven that they fabricated. Why? Because a second set of witnesses, right? Let's just keep it simple. A second set of witnesses. We already have three sets of witnesses. Another set of witnesses say, "Imanu Hayisim Malkam Ploni." They were with us at the time when they claimed that they saw it. There's no way they were there. We know the whole Masechta dedicated to this topic, and that is that we believe the second set over the first set. So now, and on top of that, what is the punishment for the first set when caught to be Eidim Zomimim? Vasisim lo, kasher zomim, lasos lachiv. Reciprocity. In other words, karma. Whatever they intended to do, so that's the onus they're going to get. So they intended the animal to, we'll get to their intention in just a moment. Okay. On that, we'll pause, and I'm just going to read on a little bit more. Nimshis kasrishona zomimes, hare kanshtei edios, vuhu pater, vehin paturim. Nimzik hashniya zomemes harekan edus achas. So vehu pater, vehein paturim. Nimzik hashlishi zomemes kulan chayavim. Valzenemar vasisim lo kasher zomam. The first set of witnesses were proven to be zomemim, so they're going to be exempt. Second set of witnesses are going to be zomemim, they're going to be exempt. But the third set of witnesses were proven to be zomemim, so they're going to be chayav. Okay. Now here's where it gets tricky. I have to admit. This part over here is tricky. Meaning, if the first set of witnesses were proven to be Zomimim, so look, when they came and they testified, so what was on the table? The only thing that was on the table was a goring. That was done by an animal that was not proven to be a Shor HaMuad. In other words, at this point in time, it was just a short time. So the Braisa says they're Pater. What the Braisa means is that they're Pater vis-a-vis the animal upgrading from being a Tam to being a Muad. But in other words, certainly, what they at least claimed they saw is that they saw a goring of an animal that was a tam. Rashi points out over here, they're absolutely going to be chayv chatzi nezek. Meaning that's, the Braisa obviously meant, when using the word pater only from the upgrade of being a tam to being a muad. But in other words, but in terms of the chatzi nezek of tam, obviously they're going to be on the hook for that. And the same thing is going to be true with the second set of witnesses. But the third set of witnesses, you see, now that there are a third set of witnesses, so now look what's on the table. Look what the stakes are now. We already have two sets of witnesses who testified, and the first two were not proven to be Eidim Zomimim. So we have already two counts against the animal that the animal is gored. Now the third set of witnesses are coming and testifying. So now what's on the table is an upgrade from the animal being a Tam to being a Muad. So on that now, if the third set of witnesses are proven to be Eidim Zomimim, so now, Chayev, they're going to be liable. Okay, now, I say all this, by the way, recognizing and realizing that it's still tricky. Because even those third set of witnesses, meaning the animal only from this point going forward is going to be a Muad, having to pay Nezek Shalem. But in terms of that occurrence, that third occurrence, you're only Chayev chatzi nezek, not nezek shalem. So I'm recognizing that what I'm doing over here is providing an explanation that's incomplete. I know that. But at least just at the surface level, you understand that there's going to be a difference between group number three versus groups one and two. Groups one and two, the only thing on the table is chatzi nezek. For group number three, there's a lot more at stake over here because with their testimony, the animal will get upgraded. Okay, let's leave it like that, even though I'm recognizing it's an incomplete explanation. Now, here's the Gemara's point. Iamart liyudei tura shapir. If over here a point of all this is yutura, so then that's great. Meaning now I understand, right? The third set of witnesses that are here, right? How are they supposed to know that there was a second set and the first set? Because they're all coming at the same time. But Iamart liyudei gavra. So lemer anach kamay ana mihavi adina debasar shoshi ame masu hanu miyadilei. But the Gemara gives now an unbelievable argument as we turn to the Amud Beis. And that is that if it's liyu de gavra, by definition, the witnesses have to be coming on three separate days. So in other words, can we really now accuse the third set of witnesses, look what you guys are looking to do, upgrading the animal from being a tam to being a muad. When did the second set of witnesses come? Yesterday. When did the first set of witnesses come? 2 days ago. Like, and we really expect now the third set of witnesses to know that? That's an unfair expectation. And now to label them Adam Zomemim on the conversion from Tam to Muad, meaning they don't necessarily know about Adas number one and Adas number two, because they came on separate days. All this only makes sense if they're able to come at the same time. That in of itself is an outstanding argument. But even on that, Amar Rav Asher, Amis L'Shemayza Kamei D'Rav Kahana, so V'Amar Le'iliyu D'Tura Minicha, V'Lemar Hanach Basrai, Anan Mana Yadina D'Chol D'Kai Beidin L'Asu D'B'Tura Ka'asu, Anan L'Chiyu V'Gavar Palganiz Ka'asinan. The Gemara pushes back. The Gemara says, look, let's say the three sets of witnesses can all come at the same time. Okay? In other words, Le'iyu D'Tura. Let's say that. Okay, but in other words, those are three separate groups. Maybe still the argument can be made, how do I know that there's a conspiracy going on over here? How do I know? Maybe, in other words, the third set, let's call them the third set, maybe they're there for one reason only. We saw goring, we're testifying on the goring. Oh, wait 1 second. You mean to tell me that, unbeknownst to us, there was minutes earlier a first set that testified and a second set that testified? And let's say it all occurred on the same day. Were we supposed to know that? So the Gemara answers in one of three ways, yes. If they're coming at the same time, there is grounds for conspiracy. So the Gemara gives numerous explanations. Explanation number one, the Kamarazim Ramuze. So the Gemara says is that they're giving each other knowing looks. Okay. The Rambam, when discussing and describing the basic legal system, you'll forgive me, I'm paraphrasing over here, I don't have a Rambam in front of me. So he basically says that, you know, Dayanim need to be smart. Meaning, aside from knowing the law, aside from that, they also just need to be smart. Meaning that certain things which are, you know, observable and just a little bit of common sense and a little bit, if they see now that these three sets of witnesses are looking at one another, winking at one another. So in other words, you at that point in time as a judge can now conclude, hey, there is a conspiracy going on over here. Obviously, they're working in concert with one another. Okay, so that's number one. Number two says, Gemar Rav Ashi Amar, Kishabar Ritzufim. Rav Ashi says that they're coming right one after the other. Meaning that again, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that would indicate that there is a conspiracy going on. Ravina Amar, Makirin Baal Shur, Ve'in Makirin is Ashur. So Ravina says is that what they're doing is they're testifying to the owner of the animal, but they're not testifying to the animal itself. So the Gemara says, what? Elehechem yadilei. So the Gemara says, well, how is the animal going to get upgraded if they can't identify which animal is which? Right? The Amre tura nakhana islach bevkaracha ibai lelen tura lekule bekara. In other words, over here, the accusation is that, look, I can't tell you which animal it is, but one of your animals is crazy, and so what you needed to do is you needed to upgrade your shmirah. But in other words, but over here, they are not testifying to a particular animal. They're just simply saying that, look, we know one of your animals is crazy, and therefore it required you to upgrade your Shmirah. Either, any which way you want to say it, how can I say that the three witnesses are working in concert with one another? The Gemara gave three different ways in which we can basically prove some sort of conspiracy between the three. Okay, so again, let's just quickly recap. We're gonna finish up the daf, but let's quickly recap. What we have in front of us is, number one, how does an animal upgrade from being a tam to a muad? Machlokas in the Mishnah. Three times, let's assume three times is the number, and then from that point going forward, the animal now is a muad. But does it have to be on three occurrences, three occasions, or does it have to be on three occasions and on three separate days? So the Gemara concludes, the latter, that it has to be not only three occurrences, but on three separate days. That's Rav Yossi Shita, that's a halacha. Can the animal experience reformation, get downgraded after being upgraded? The answer is yes. That too is a machlokas, how that's going to happen. The Gemara's conclusion is that, do you know how we're going to prove that now it is reverted to being a domicile animal? Very simply, you have children playing with the animal. Again, don't try this, but you have children playing with the animal. If the animal's not attacking the children, the animal has proven now that it's calmed itself down, reverting back to being a tam. Then, a very basic question regarding this idea that the animal now is going to become a muad. Does that mean that the witnesses also have to come on three distinct days? Or can the witnesses all come on one occasion? That we just went through in the Gemara is a machlokas. The Gemara over here didn't have a clear conclusion, but the Gemara certainly seems to side with the idea that they can all come on one occasion. Okay. Ibailahu. One more topic for today. We're on Chavdal Amud Beis, about a quarter of the way down. Okay. Ibailahu. Kabo shechaver bechaver. Mahu. So let's say you start instigating an animal. Okay, so you're teasing the dog. This should sound familiar, by the way. We discussed this just 2 days ago. So you're teasing the dog, and now you made the dog a little crazy. And then it goes on the attack. So now, can the instigator be held at all liable? So mishasa vade pater. So the Gemara says, well, no. The instigator is not going to be chayv. Why? So we already saw this before. We're saying it again right now. Grama. In other words, this is grama benizakin. In other words, you instigated, but you didn't actually cause the damage. Yes, there is definitely fault. You certainly are sharing responsibility, but in terms of liability, you're not liable because grama. Grama benizakin is pater. So bal kalav mai. So the so what about the owner of the dog? So in other words, is the owner of the dog going to be liable? Can the owner of the dog say, look, in other words, had my dog not been instigated, my dog would have been fine. So on the other hand, maybe we could turn to the owner of the dog and say, look, I know your dog was instigated, but your dog is instigatable. A new made-up word I made up just for today. In other words, you should basically know. Meaning, right? You're blaming the instigator. At the same time, however, fault lies in your lap because you know that your dog can be instigated, and you know that your dog basically can turn into a pretty ferocious dog with a little bit of instigation. And meanwhile, you're still owning the dog. Like, what's wrong with you? And not only what's wrong with you, but you're going to be held liable. Okay, so. So the instigator is for sure going to be pater. And again, pater meaning not that he's a good guy, but just simply that he's not going to have liability. In terms of the owner of the dog itself, so that is what we're doing right now. The owner of the dog is going to have liability, yes or no? So I'm Rabbi Zeratashma. So Tom, Shiyutinok is Mimashma Shimbova Eino Negech. Hanogeach Hayev. So let's take a look at our Mishnah. Because what our Mishnah is describing, and this is the halacha, is how does the animal get downgraded from being a muad back to being a tam? Well, you have children playing with the animal, and the animal's tam, and the animal doesn't do anything. Okay, now, the diuk in the Mishnah would be, well, what if the animal wasn't calm? Presumably, the owner of the animal would be chayav. Meaning, here you have the children. Now, I use the word playing, but playing, instigating, you know, in other words, they're hainohach. We're assuming it's the same thing. So here you have basically the children, you know, playing with this wild animal, And what the Mishnah implies, doesn't say it, but implies is that if the animal were to harm them, so then the owner of the animal would be chayev, right? So Amar Abaye Miketani Naga Chayev, Dilma Hanaga Chlo Havitam, Be'ayina Gichala Mechayev. So Abaye says, not a good diak in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is only interested in teaching me how the animal will downgrade from being a mood back to being a tam. But in terms of liability, I don't know. The Mishnah is not talking about liability. Tashma. Shisa bo sekalev shishisa. It's a kalev. Shisa bo nachash pater. So myla pater mishasa v'chayev al kalev. So the Gemara brings in a Mishnah. We cited this Mishnah before. The instigator of the dog, the instigator of the snake. And now, after instigating the dog or snake, the dog and the snake go on the attack and attack somebody else. So the instigator is pater. So if I'm hearing carefully, listening carefully, the instigator is pater, which means where does liability fall? On the owner. The owner is going to be chayev, right? So the Gemara says, lo, ema pater af mishasa. No, that's not. Again, the way we could understand it is that even the instigator is going to be pater. The owner is going to be pater and the instigator is going to be pater as well. Maybe that's what we meant. That's what the Mishnah meant. Amar avim timsel amar mishasa kapo shel chaver b'chaveru chayav. So, if you want to tell me that the owner is going to be chayav, meaning, I know we didn't conclude on the matter, but imtim salomar, Rava says, let's say that the owner is going to be chayev, even though your animal was instigated. So she saw ba'atzmo, so pater. But let's say the instigator instigated the animal, and the animal went and attacked. Who? The actual instigator, meaning not somebody else, not an innocent bystander, but the actual instigator. So there I am at my neighbor's house, and he's got his little pet snake, and there I am teasing the pet snake. And then what does he do with that snake? He bites me. Okay. And effectively, right, this halacha over here is so like reason, it's so intuitive. So over here, can we make the following argument? So the Gemara is making the argument. So, and that is that the owner of the snake under those circumstances is going to be pater. Why? My time, akol mishana ba'achir v'shina bo pater. So this is the second time now in the Masechta we're going over this idea, and that is that do you know what caused the damage? Your very own behavior. In other words, please forgive me, I'm going to speak strong language, but you're a moron. In other words, you went over to your neighbor and you played with his little, you know, with his little pit bull, and now the little pit bull decided, oh, you're going to tease me? I'm going to bite you. So in other words, so you're the instigator, so now the animal bit you. So you can't go ahead now and sue your friend. In other words, because kol ha-mishana, if you initiate and instigated and behave deviantly, then when damaged, you can't claim, oh, your animal damaged me. That's kol ha-mishana. We've had this before. And not only did we have it before, we get to review what we said earlier in the Masechta. Amle rapapala rava itmar mishmet Reish Lakish kavasech. You know, we had Reish Lakish saying this as well. We saw this earlier. The Amrei Shalkish Tei Paros Bereshus Rabbi Malachas Revutz Vachas Malachas Ubatim Malachas Revutz Ptura Revutz Bemalachas Chayeves. Okay, so let's say you have two animals in the street, and one is squatting and the other is walking. Now, in the street, so the one that's walking behaving correctly, the one that's squatted right there in the street behaving incorrectly, right? I know I said the analogy last time. It's a simple analogy. It's like while on the highway, does someone decides to stop right there on the highway? Okay, and I am not the one to discuss this legally. I'm not a lawyer. Don't even pretend to be one. But in other words, but just from an intuitive standpoint, the one who stopped right there on the highway, in other words, that person's at fault. Again, I'm not discussing it legally, just intuitively. In other words, that's not the purpose of the highway. The highway is not to stop. The purpose of the highway is to go. So over here, you have two animals. One is squatting in the street, and the other one's walking. And what happens? So bata ma'alechas berevutza, the one walking kicks the one, and not just kicks, but damages the one that's squatting. So the owner of the walking animal is pater. Why? Based on the principle of kol mishana, meaning the animal that squatted. So even though it was damaged, but it started off with deviant behavior. In other words, you're not supposed to stop in the middle of the street. And not just stop, by the way, but stop and squat in the middle of the street, right? The owner of the animal basically should have came over and moved it. It didn't. So the animal that now kicked it, the walking animal that kicked it, is going to be pater based on the principle of kol mishana. Now, in the opposite, where the revutz that now kicks the ma'aleches, so the owner of the revutz is going to be chayev, because the ma'aleches was doing what it was supposed to be doing. Fine. So, amar lei. So basically, now we have two applications of kol mishana. One is that I play with my neighbor's little pit bull, right, and it bites me. So I can't make a claim because kol mishana. In other words, I start off with deviant behavior. Good. And now that's one example. And the other example, kol mishana, the one that we did earlier with Reish Lakish, is the two cows. One squatting, the other's walking. The one that walks kicks and damages the one that squatted. Okay, but the owner of the walking animal is pater. Why? Kol mishana. We have two examples of kol mishana. So amar lei ana ba'ei chiyuva mechayvna. So Rava says back to Rav Papa. Look, I know there are two examples, but I don't think they're the same. I think the distinction can be made. I think that in the case of the walking squatting animals, I think over there chayv. Why? Because amin alei ki yisrael chavrushusa l'skuya alai. I would argue that in the case of the walking squatting animals, I will say the following. The owner of the squatting animal will say to the owner of the walking animal, look, my animal squatted and I understand. That wasn't right. But I will say this to you. Your animal simply could have stepped over my animal. Your animal needed to kick my animal, meaning that was perfectly unnecessary. So over there, it's true that my animal behaved in a deviant manner. But at the same time, however, your animal's attack of my animal was totally unnecessary, and therefore I'm putting a claim against you. Rava says that even though I subscribe to this idea of kol mishana, but I wouldn't necessarily apply to the case of the walking squatting animals. I think over there that case you could argue is different. Good, I'd cut. Right, perfect place to stop. In fact, we are. That's what we'll do right now. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay, in our daf, we went over the following. How does an animal become an upgrade from being a tam to being a muad? And once a muad, is there a way of reformation and downgrading? So the halacha is that upgrade is three goings on three separate days. And for downgrading, I'm just saying over the halacha, and for downgrading the animal after being a muad, so you find that children are playing with it and the animal is not reacting and not responding and not attacking the children. Good. So those are the halachas. Then, what we discussed today on the Amud Aleph of today's daf is that although we said that the animal has to gore on three separate days, so does that mean that the witnesses have to come on three separate occasions? Because the purpose of Ha'ada is to forewarn and serve notice to the owner who needs to hear this on three separate occasions. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is no, just simply to show pattern of behavior of the animal. The Gemara asks that question. The Gemara seems to favor the latter, as opposed to the former. Then on the Amud Beis, we went over the halachas of what happens now if you instigate an animal and it damages somebody else. So is the instigator going to be chayv? The answer is no. Even though that doesn't mean he's a good person, it just simply means that he's not liable. Why? Grama. And grama minizakim is going to be pater. And then what happens if you instigate an animal and it damages you? Can I now go ahead and put a claim against the owner of the animal, hey, your animal bit me? Or can he say, well, if you wouldn't tease my animal, he wouldn't have bit you? So in other words, who has the better argument? So Rava says the owner of the animal has a better argument because of the principle of kol mishana. Once you behave in a manner that was inappropriate and now damage occurs to you, but because you acted inappropriately to begin with, so therefore, that's going to exempt the other person. How far do we go with this idea of kol mishana? So the Gemara deliberates and debates that very point.